Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel on this day of November 29th, 2022, to finish our discussion with Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, talking about the ministry of Melchizedek. And so last week we just showed how we are to flee from everything outside of us, everything in life that we encounter that is compared to a storm, and we're on a boat. And so being on a boat, on the stormy sea, in the boat, our soul has to be anchored in the Lord, because he's our secure and firm foundation. And he has entered into the veil. And that's in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We're talking about Christ, the ministry of Christ. If you notice here in the book of Hebrews, it's dealing with Christ's ministry and comparing how Christ is more superior than that of the Old Testament. And the reason why the Apostle Paul has gone there is because there were some Jewish believers who left Judaism, and they realized that Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, which pointed to him in types and shadow. So these believers saw the reality of Christ's ministry, how it was more superior than that of the Old Testament, according to Aaron and the Levites, how they were in types and shadow performing a ministry that only Christ could fulfill. That makes sense? So here Paul is using, and he's trying to tell these believers that there's no sense in going back to the Old Testament ceremonial law, all the Levitical system that they were under, because all that was pointing to Christ. He wasn't saying do away with the Old Testament. He's simply showing how it was a picture of Christ concealed or shown in types and shadow, whereas the New Testament is Christ revealed, okay? He fulfills everything that the Old Testament revealed or had hidden, concealed about him. Christ comes in the New Testament and reveals himself, fulfills it, okay? That's what we're dealing with. So to go back to the Old Testament ceremonial washings and all those things is saying that you're just going back to the type. Why go back to the type when you have the reality? And just because they face some troublesome times, and we can attest to this, when we, you know, serving God and living for God and having faith is easy when things are going well. But to prove, God has to prove faith. And what he's proving is to develop us. The purpose of proving is to develop us to go on and trust him all the more. How do you think that David was able to kill Goliath? It wasn't that David just out of the blue one day, boom, I'm going to kill Goliath. No, it was through relationship. It was through fellowship. It was through consecration and separation. While he watched the sheep, he allowed God to be real in his experience. And so the first trial was a lion or a bear, and then came the lion. Okay, he had to, in order to go on with Christ, he had to continue to enjoy Christ as far as feasting and trusting and loving on Christ in the midst of difficulty and being willing to face the obstacles, not run away. So the analogy that they use also, after facing the lion and the bear, he had to eventually face Goliath. Now, notice how the trials get bigger, but so does your faith. So does your trust. So does your strength. You're now being anchored more and more to trust God based upon not what you see, but what you don't see, who resides in the heaven. Y'all see what I'm saying? Faith is the substance or the substantiating of the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is used to substantiate, just like I can substantiate that the color of someone's eyes are blue or brown by looking. See what I'm saying? My eye substantiates that their eyes are brown or blue because I can see it. So in the same way, I can tell that I'm sitting at a desk that's wooden because I can feel it. See what I'm saying? I'm substantiating the reality of the desk that is wooden, a wooden desk, by feeling it, touching. So I substantiate the fact that God is real, and it brings me hope by faith.
Yes.
Faith is used to substantiate that which you cannot see. You see what I'm saying? And faith is given to us as a seed, and it's wrapped up in the faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Faith is Christ is planted into us. See this? And that seed has to grow. They're not. It's not a fruit yet. It's planted into us as seeds. See this? And that seed has to mature. So this is why the Apostle Paul, when you read in the book of Hebrews, he tells them, don't be dull of hearing, slow to act, slow to respond on what you're hearing. But with, he said, by now you should be teachers, but you have need that someone teach you again. And they left the sincere milk of God's word. They needed to take the milk in order for the seed to grow. Y'all see what I'm saying? Take the milk of God's word, the sincere milk of God's word. Sincere means it's one single purpose. It's unadulterated. Christ. Christ seen in the Old Testament, in everything, in every aspect, his atoning work, his incarnation, his suffering, all those things, that makes him the process God, which eventually leads to his death, burial, and resurrection, and then ascension. So I have to take the process God in the face of Jesus Christ, and I have to grow. This is the sincere milk of God's word. I don't read the word just because I want to find a scripture to fit what my beliefs are or what I want God to do this. So let me go through the scripture. I know how we do. Let me go through here and sit and find the scripture that pertain to what I want. That's not how God works. It's a relationship. I don't just pinpoint certain scriptures when I'm going through things just to get God to move. No, it's me loving the scriptures, loving the word of God, and regardless of what I go through.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I'm going to continue to enjoy him regardless. That's what Job had to do. When things were good, he enjoyed God. When things were bad, he had to learn to enjoy God and see him in a brighter and bigger and better way. See, your trials come to get you and I out of the way so that God's will can come forth and his desires can be placed in our heart. He cannot place his desires and his will in our hearts and minds without us being renewed in our thinking, being transformed. Y'all see what I'm saying? We're trying to naturally love people and like them, and here comes a crash. And God is saying, no, you can't do it in the energy of your strength and your ability. You need to get out of the way. You need to be terminated so that my life, the resurrected life, once I'm dead to self, sin, and the world, can come forth. And this is why Paul said, the life that I live in the body of flesh, I live by the faith, the seed of the word of God planted into me. Faith now, I can substantiate the reality of my heavenly Christ, who I don't see, but I believe.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? So this is where we're going tonight, and we're going to hit Hebrews chapter 6. Start at verse 19 and 20, and then go into verse chapter 7, okay?
Okay. 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, notice here it says, he says, and we just recapping before we go into this, which we have as an anchor of the soul. Notice it's talking about the different aspects of Christ in our daily living. You have to understand Christ is revealed in these scriptures in the book of Hebrews in different aspects. You'll see him as the captain of our salvation. You see him as the author and the finisher of our faith. You see him as the anchor. You see him in so many different aspects. We see him as our high priest according to the order of Aaron and then according to the order of Melchizedek. There's different aspects of Christ that the believer has to experience. He's not going to show himself in just one aspect. We see him as a forerunner. He had to be the forerunner, meaning he had to come. In verse 20, it says that where the forerunner, Jesus, has entered for us, having become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, notice where Christ now sits. He's seated now at, it says he entered within the veil. He's in the most holy place. Seated at the throne of God. Remember, heaven, earth was a picture of heaven, okay? And we will see the temple and all its glory at the end. God will be on his throne, Christ on his throne, ruling and reigning all the nations in the earth. You see the temple and the worship, that the Levitical worship and all the stuff that they did, it'll be restored. Okay? And so there's a whole lot to that. We don't want to get into in that yet. But this is why it's referring to him entering into the veil. When he died and he ascended, I think it was Mary or Martha came to embrace him after he was resurrected. And he said, don't hold on to me. Don't cling to me. Because he had to present himself. Remember, he shed his blood to sprinkle his blood in the altar in the heavenlies behind the veil. Then he sat down. It was finished. That's what the animal sacrifice and taking the blood and sprinkling it on the mercy seat behind the veil, all of that represented, it was a replica of heaven. What takes place or what's taking place in heaven, okay? So here he was a forerunner. He had to go before us, and it says as a forerunner, the Lord Jesus took, let me see here, the lead to pass through the stormy sea and enter the heavenly haven on to be the high priest for us according to the order of Melchizedek. So as such a forerunner, he is the author of our salvation. As the forerunner, he cut the way to glory. And as the author, he entered into glory. See this? The forerunner goes before. He cuts the path. And as a captain of salvation, he leads us. See, we have to go on. This is why the book of Hebrews is called the river crossers. See, it's always talking about going on to follow our high priest who was the forerunner. Okay? He cut the path. He went before us. So what we have to do while here on earth, remember, this is not our home. And we can't be tied to anything here on earth. And what kept the Israelites when they left Egypt from entering into the promises? The mind not being transformed or changed or renewed. They kept themselves from going on and following the forerunner, Christ, into Canaan. This is a type. See what I'm saying? So they kept them because their minds were never renewed. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in comparison to the giants. See, how you see yourself and how you view, you're afraid of everything, and you see yourself less than and not as who you are in Christ Jesus, you will hinder yourself from going on into the promises and being an overcomer. So although the people of God, they didn't enter into the rest of God. They didn't cross over the Jordan. You see that? They had to cross over the Jordan to enter into the Canaan. They had to cross over the Red Sea. They had to partake of the Passover, which was Christ. They had to enjoy Christ. And as they enjoyed Christ, it got them right there in front of the Red Sea and Pharaoh behind them. They had to continue to enjoy, trust, eat the flesh, drink the blood, remember. See what I'm saying? Remember all that Christ, his death accomplished, what it represented in their life. It was to now give them the power. He had already took away sin. Now he has to go on. They have to go on and overcome sin. self, the world, and Satan. Y'all see what I'm saying? We can't just eat, just like in your body, your natural body. You don't just eat one meal and be done. You have to keep eating. And what you eat is the chemical makeup of who you are, bodily. You see what I'm saying? What you eat determines what you become. What you put in your body will determine how healthy the outcome of your body will be. So, you ever remember that old show or the commercials come on, you really are what you eat? It used to be a little thing they had to come on, a little kid thing, jingle, and it says, you are what you eat from your head to your feet. So what we eat as far as spiritually would determine how you progress and develop. This is why he says, by now you should be on solid food. Because you're not, I can't. These things are going to be hard of hearing. The things that I have to tell you about Melchizedek, you can't progress forward because you're stuck here in your mind. And if you're not willing to change in your mind and your thinking and your way of living, you will not be able to overcome and to experience all that Christ is, his divine nature. Even though the seed is planted in you and I, everybody's not letting the seed grow and develop and become rooted and perfect and strengthened and established. You see what I'm saying? That seed has to have the proper nourishment. So if I'm not consecrating myself, separating myself from the views of the world, the ways of the world, the things that I hear, the things that I see, and I allow those. See, consecration means I'm separating myself because those things are I can't, the news. I just don't like to hear it. Why? Because I know it's a false narrative. I know it's to instill fear. I know it's to instill doubt. And so what does God do? He leads you to the truth, the right source of information. And then when you hear the wrong source of information, you cringe. It's like, that's not the truth. It's no different than the report that the 10 spies brought to the Israelites that hindered them from entering into the promises. The majority said one thing. We're like grasshoppers. Yeah, there's some good, the land is good. There are grapes and this and that. They told the good things that were there. See, TV news, they'll tell you some good things, but they also harp on the negative and bring fear. And then you start seeing yourself based upon what they tell you. Y'all see what I'm saying? And this is why they could not enter into the promise. They couldn't go to the next aspect of Christ. They couldn't enjoy him in Canaan. So what happened? They died in the wilderness. They were not overcomers. And if you read in Genesis 14, you'll see how once they heard and saw that God said, go up, go in, give me a sign, Lord. Yeah, give me a sign. I need a sign. God didn't give them a sign. God just told them, go in and possess. But when they realized that God said, you could have had it, you could have entered in, but because you didn't, you're going to die in the wilderness. Then they said, oh, no, we'll go. Next day, they tried to go up and go in, and they were defeated. Y'all see what I'm saying? That's a person that got to see it before they'll believe it and before they'll walk in it. God doesn't want that. He says, blessed are those that don't see or have not seen but yet believe. Believing means that you and I have to walk it, trust them in our day-to-day experience, whether the outcome is what we want or not. I don't sit here and haggle God about the outcome. Paul said three times, I prayed to God, remove this thorn. Well, he got the answer the third time. My grace is sufficient. That's the promise. So he had to take the promise and trust God and go on. Y'all see what I'm saying? God, in his wisdom, can see the future. He can see the things further down the road than I can. And I cannot make better decisions and plans for myself because I can only see what is right before my eyes. But Satan uses fear, doubt, and anxiety as a playground to hinder us from obtaining these promises. This is what I want us to see. This is why our soul has to be anchored. Christ is at the throne, at the right hand, and he's behind the veil. This is my goal. I'm striving to enter into the veil. And I have to go through the veil of my flesh. See, I told you I saw a meme last week. It said that sin, Christ died to overcome or defeat sin, take away sin. But the flesh is still there. Although he has defeated our flesh, we have to. See, we the flesh is still here, and it's not defeated unless I go on and trust in what Christ has done. Y'all see what I'm saying? He's died to defeat it. He's died to overcome, for us to overcome it. But those Israelites could not overcome because they were not willing to trust him. See what I mean? So even though God died, Christ died from the foundation of the world, he died for us and he took away sin. Now I have to learn to overcome. And this is what the ministry of Melchizedek is about. It's about overcoming sin. See, the ministry of Aaron, Christ's ministry, according to the order of Aaron, was to take away sin. He fulfilled that. Now, the ministry of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, is to help us in overcoming sin. You see? Sin shall not have dominion. A lot of Christians are defeated and they are under the control of sin. They're under control of self, the world, and Satan. Am I making sense? Any questions before I go further? Okay. So in chapter 7, so we see here Christ has entered into, entered for us, having become forever high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7, verse 1.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him.
Okay. Now I just want to see, because there's some things in here and we're going to have to take our time. Like I said before, you may have to take notes because some of these things go in depth on Melchizedek and the similitude, okay, of his ministry to Christ. So here it says, now if you notice, it says, according to the work and ministry of Christ, this book has a turn at this verse, talking about verse 1, a turn from earth to heaven. See, we're going from the earthly ministry of Christ, according to the order of Aaron, now to the heavenly ministry, according to the order of Melchizedek. So it says, to the end of chapter 6, what is revealed is mainly Christ's work on earth, typified by the priesthood of Aaron. That section is the word of foundation. So from this verse, Christ's ministry in heaven, according to the order of Melchizedek, is now unveiled. So this section, I'm getting a feedback. Y'all hear it? Or is it my line? Y'all hear it in your line? Okay, I'm going to have to mute some lines and take it. It says, this section is the word of perfection, which shows us how the heavenly Christ ministers in the heavenly tabernacle. So now what he's done, his purifying of sin is typified by the work of Aaron, while his sitting down on the right hand of the majesty on high is according to the order of Melchizedek. So his work on the cross on the earth, typified by the work of Aaron, affords us forgiveness of sin. That makes sense? His work on the cross, typified by the work of Aaron, affords us forgiveness of sin. His ministry on the throne in heaven ministers to us the overcoming of sin. That's very important. Is it very important that you see this? So his work, because we, like I said, we rarely go further into the ministry of Melchizedek. We stay on the surface and or at the cross and or where the brazen laver is. Nothing wrong, and we're not demeaning the cross. We're saying that's necessary. That's how salvation was built. Remember, Paul said he laid the foundation. No other foundation could he lay but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he said, another man will build there upon. So this is why we have to be careful. And I'm going to have to mute some lines, y'all, because I'm getting some feedback out of here. So I'm just testing to see which ones bear with me. So we have to learn, we have to see that the ministry of Melchizedek is according to the heavenly. Okay? It's according to Christ's heavenly ministry, according to the similitude of Melchizedek. So he says here, let me say this again, his work on the cross on earth, typified by the work of Aaron, affords us forgiveness of sin. It is finished. He's done that. The book of Hebrews shows Christ as the sin offering. See this? It shows us Christ as the sin offering. That's what it relays to us when it talks about Christ and his ministry and the shedding of blood. It's showing him he was the sin offering. That is finished. Now, Christ's ministry on the throne, this is why he tells us, come to the, in Hebrews 4:16, come to the throne. He's telling these Hebrew Christians, don't go back to Judaism because of the persecution, but come to the throne that you may find mercy and obtain grace to help in time of need. See this? The throne is just actually Christ pouring himself back into us. He's the bread and the wine. So as I eat his flesh, my soul got to be anchored. No matter how stormy life gets, no matter how much I encounter in this world, because this world is not my home, no matter the persecution, no matter the threat of martyrdom, losing my life, I must commit my soul to him. Just like Christ said, Lord, I commit my spirit. See, even to death, he was committing his soul, his spirit unto the Lord, meaning that man may harm us externally, but man, God has the soul. God has the spirit. And although we encounter temporary sufferings in this life, it's not compared to the glory which shall be revealed in the future. Amen. Did I lose anybody? Let me know.
Okay, explain that again, how you said that the throne is Christ and he's pouring himself into us.
Right. Remember when they, Christ being the process God means that simply he had to be born. He had to be incarnate. He had to be born of a woman. And he had to subject him. This is what made him a high priest. The high priest had to be of an earthly ministry. He had to come born of a woman. He had to go through the sufferings and the rejections. He had to be crucified. He had to be buried and resurrected. And then he ascended. So that's the process, God. Now, the raw Christ is when I try to just say, okay, I believe God. I believe Jesus walked the earth historically. You know, the Muslims and some of the Jews, the Jews don't even think the Messiah. The Muslims think he was just a prophet. The Mormons think he was Michael, the archangel. So that's the raw Christ. When I say raw, he wasn't processed. He didn't go through. They just look at him as a babe coming in and wrapped in swaddling clothes who became a great prophet. See? They don't see him as being God, because every time I'm out there on Facebook, on the ministry page, they argue that how can Christ be God? They don't believe that. They think he was just a prophet. They think he was just a good man. You know, some religion. That's the raw Christ. When he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, when they made the unleavened cakes, it could not be mixed with leaven. It had to be the meal or whatever they had, the manna and the oil, the flour and the oil, put it that way. And so that represented his humanity mixed with his divinity. Am I making sense? And so his humanity and divinity was that the fact that he was the first begotten son, divinity, and then he was the firstborn son of God, first the son of man. That's his humanity. The two had to be mingled. And because they were mingled, he had to go through the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension. He was processed. If you don't embrace the Christ dealing with the birth, the death, the burial, and the ascension, you only see him as a good man, a prophet, or what have you. Without those things, then he is not the process Christ, and he will not work on your behalf. That makes sense?
That you
got that, Sister Cherry?
Yes.
So we have to embrace. It's no different than saying that when people give their lives to Christ, you have to believe that he was born, he died for your sin, he was buried, and he resurrected, and now he's ascended. That's all it's saying. Some people just say God, and they leave off Christ and his atoning work. That means that you're just embracing an unprocessed God, which cannot get you and I delivered nor saved. It has to be a Christ who has gone through. So when they ate that unleavened bread, it was mixed with the oil, which represented the Holy Spirit. All of this is Christ in types and shadow. So the meal had to be mixed with the oil, and they had to bake it, and they ate it. They didn't put the leaven in there, which represented sin. So to be the process God or process Christ, I have to, and this is why he tells us, this do ye as often as you will, because I can't eat a meal just once and live and survive. Spiritually, I can't just eat from Christ, accept him as my Savior, and then don't eat no more. I can't just, he says, as often as you will, take this bread, which represents my body, which was broken for you, and take this wine, which represents my blood that was shed. He was processed. He went through the whole thing. As a man, he became our representative man, because as the last Adam, he did not fail like the first Adam. What did the first Adam bring? He brought death. He brought condemnation to a whole race. And so Christ as the process God means that he went through it. He went through everything Adam should have to be our representative man, to be our high priest, to be, y'all see, the last Adam. And so as I partake of him daily, see, every day, every circumstance, every situation, he said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. When you look at the life of Peter, you see him, even though in his failure he denied God, he denied him, you see that as he walked, continued to embrace Christ, even in the failure, you see the transformation. Why? He learned how to eat. And like I said, the more you eat of Christ, the more you'll be transformed. When we get to the book of Acts, you see a transformed man who stands up boldly. He doesn't run away like he did when Christ was in the being on trial and crucified. He stands up boldly and preaches and proclaims the gospel. See what I'm saying? This was a picture of a person who was transformed. Yeah, he failed, and we're all going to fail, but he learned from the failure. And the failure allowed him to get up and to continue to eat and drink the body of Jesus Christ, that which Christ had done on his behalf. So you see Christ helping him to overcome in his ministry according to the order of Melchizedek. This is what works, and this is what was taking place with Abraham. The ministry of Melchizedek was the intercession. While we're here on earth, Christ makes intercession, his presence, because he's completed the work. But this is what he's helping us to do in this part or aspect of our life and living, to overcome some things. And one of them is to overcome sin, to overcome self. But as long as I'm anchored and I'm going forward to the holy place, the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where he is seated at the right hand. This is the goal of the Christian. Upon entering into the outer court, the whole purpose of entering into the court is to go into the presence. So I can't just hang around at that brazen altar, which represented the cross. That's the foundation. So the purpose is for me to keep going. Remember, salvation was necessary because of the usurpation of Satan in the garden. Man had to be redeemed. And the process God used was redemption, to restore man back to his original position with God. And so man had to be restored through redemption. It never, that just put him back at God's original purpose. And this is what we're striving for. See, we rarely reach or rarely go on to reach God's goal, his purpose from the beginning. From the very beginning, sin, before sin entered in, God had a purpose. God had a purpose, and man was his vessel. And man was to be a vessel used by God, and God was to dwell into man by man eating from the tree of life. Man never got that far. Satan came in and stopped it, and now Satan ruled from man's flesh. You see what I'm saying? The fall. He caused all of mankind to fall from the spirit on down through his body. But God redeemed man from the spirit, and he saved. He has a full salvation plan that takes care of our spirit, soul, and our body. But man has to daily eat and look to Christ, our forerunner. And we need his grace so that his divine life can be can permeate me, my life, so that I can live this life on earth by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That makes sense.
Amen.
So this ministry of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, we jump around the altar on the first floor dealing with sin, but we never reach the second floor. I'm not going to say never, but we rarely reach the second floor, which deals with our overcoming or sanctification. This is where the ministry of Melchizedek helps us now. He's at the throne, and we have to draw nigh to overcome some things in life. That makes sense to everybody? So I'm going to go and read this again. It says, his work on the cross on earth typified the work of Aaron, which affords us forgiveness of sins. His ministry on the throne in heaven ministers to us the overcoming of sin. So his cross delivered us out of Egypt. They ate the Passover, remember? And it delivered them out of Egypt. But his throne brings us into Canaan. See, this is why we have to keep going on and going forward. Every day that we're living is a day that we have to continue to go on with Christ. You can't be hindered by your titles, your positions. Y'all mentioned this earlier. See, this is the trick of Satan. Satan will come in using good things. Your natural love, your goodness, your kindness, it should be a vessel used for God to pour his love and his kindness into. See what I'm saying? He didn't intend for us to let our natural goodness shine forth and our natural kindness. This is why we get disappointed by people and whatever, because we have this type of love that's conditional. It's based upon what people do for me, how they treat me, or how they don't, you know, whatever they don't do, or what, you know, we have this conditional love. You know, we be expecting things out of people, but are you doing things for others? Are you going out? You want everybody to treat you a certain way. But see, the love of God, he will impart his love, which is unconditional. This is a virtue that God has to put into us. And not too many Christians are allowing this. We have our own natural virtue, because some of us are naturally, you know, nice, kind of up until whatever. And God is saying, you're just to be a vessel. Your goodness, your kindness is for me to live out my goodness, the true, see, the everlasting goodness. Everlast. This is the problem. This is why everybody getting hurt and church hurt and all this and that, because we are not letting the life of Christ come forth, which is to help us to overcome some things here on earth. God took into account that we were going to encounter a whole bunch of difficult things. So that's why he equipped you and I with the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. This power far exceeds anything the earthly world and could ever offer us. See, we thought that going to the moon was powerful. We thought that, whatever man's latest and greatest technology that's out there, we thought that was powerful. But you got the power of God that raised up Jesus from the dead in you and I, and we can't get over people not liking us. We can't get over that they offended me. You see what I'm saying? This just shows us, and I'm not nitpicking, but it just shows us a need for the ministry of Melchizedek to help us to overcome. You see, Abraham not taking into account when he went to go help Lot, he did not take into account that he only had 300 and something, 18 men fighting against 4 armies, 4 kings and their armies. That makes sense? This is why we need the ministry of Melchizedek. The ministry of Melchizedek helps us to overcome sin, overcome self, the world, and Satan. So let me get here. We talk about the name Melchizedek. It says now here, his cross delivered us out of Egypt. His throne brings us into Canaan. The Hebrew believers participated in his work on the cross. Now they had to press on to enter into the enjoyment of his ministry on the throne. This is where we're at. Upon salvation, we need to teach people not to work and get caught up in nothing wrong with doing things, but most of the attention in many churches and ministry is to bring people in to help me build my vision as a pastor or a leader. And we forget about the souls. We take them in based upon their talents, their gifts, and abilities, and we forget that they need to be developed. They need to taste the sincere milk of God's word and grow. And so we're more focused on the physical ministry instead of God's ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. This is what I want us to see tonight. The ministry that's taking place in us is the most important thing, because we get too caught up on the externals, helping the poor, nothing wrong with it, doing all these things. But it takes our attention away from the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in us to deliver us from self, our selfish ways. You know, we don't need no more attention on us. We should be denying self. You know, we should be going out our way for others. And this is what God has to put into us. We shouldn't put the burden of our desires and wanting people to treat us and do us this way. We shouldn't put that burden on other people. It shouldn't even be a factor. But when Christ is living in us, what did he do? He became a servant to all. He said, although I'm Lord and Master, I'm washing your feet. See this? The problem with the world system is that self is on the throne of its heart. And the problem with the church is that if we're not taught the ministry of Christ, his earthly ministry and his heavenly ministry, we will too be on the throne of our hearts. We're trying to find people to do things according to what we want. And if they don't, we get mad and we fall out. And this is not the ministry. This is not what the way God works in us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit at work in us is God pouring the life of Christ back into us. That's grace. Grace is the life of Christ being poured back into us so that he can be expressed through us on a day-to-day basis. Meaning that now that you're under the law of grace, or the rule of grace, put it that way, he tells the disciples, your love has to exceed. See, the demand goes beyond the law, the Ten Commandments. Your love should exceed, your righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees only wanted to shine and show up and people to pat them on the back because of externals. Christ called them whitewashed walls, meaning that behind the wall were dead men's bones. But it was plastered up to look like it was nice and kind and perfect. But inside, they were evil. And God had to come to deal with the heart. The human heart is sick and desperately wicked. Look at the things that are going on in the world today. Satan looks just like God looks to find individuals who allow him or allow them, him to rule their heart and lives to accomplish his goal. This is why you see evil and the killing and killings and stuff that's going on. They're evil agendas. And so God searches for individuals who will stand for righteousness and truth and allow his will to be accomplished in the earth, even if it comes at the expense of you being a doormat, even if it comes at the expense of you not being recognized. Y'all see what I'm saying? Because remember, let this mind be in you and I that was also in Christ Jesus. He took on the form of a servant. He didn't try to go out of his way to be recognized, but he came so to accomplish the will of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 7, and we were at verse 1, and so we were talking about the ministry of Melchizedek. And here it says, let me give you the definition of the word. Melchizedek means king of righteousness and king of Salem. King of Salem means king of peace. Let's read verse 2, Sister Cherry.
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. And after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Okay. So we said Melchizedek means king of righteousness and king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, these are descriptions which show and type Christ in his ministry. We get righteousness only through what Christ did at Calvary. Okay. We become righteous and we're justified, which brings about righteousness and peace. So we have peace with God because Christ, of what he did, he became the sin offering and God was satisfied. Okay? So God's righteous judgment was poured out on Christ. So when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, before coming to Christ, God's righteous judgment will be poured upon the sinner if he does not accept the sacrifice of what Christ offered. See, God has a wrath, and he has to settle that wrath, and he waits patiently for us to turn to him. But if I ignore God's grace and his mercy, the wrath will be poured out. And this is what the end time, when you see the lake of fire and Satan and the fallen angels and to see that hell was not made for man. Hell was made for Satan when he fell and the fallen angels. But Satan has lured and caused man to fall into his deception, and a lot of them will be there with him. So anybody that does not accept Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished, his redemption plan, will follow him there. Okay? So righteousness, right doing, right being, because we were all born in sin, and we all have to understand this because this is the only way that you can help others to see it. We were all born in sin, so everyone was born with a bent towards wrongdoing. Why? Because humanity fell in the garden when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. So everybody born, Adam was our representative man. When he ate that fruit, sin entered in and death. So Christ had to come as the last Adam to restore and redeem. See this? But God still has a purpose, and his purpose was for man who was created in his image. Now think about it. There were all kind of creations and animals and different things created after its kind. But man was created in the image of God. See how great a creation man is? Man was created in the image of God after God kind, but man, God was going to dwell. See, man became in the image, and he was going to be the expression. That's in Romans 9, the expression of God. He had vessels. We're vessels of God, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And you can see where the vessels is to hold the treasure. We're earthen vessels with treasure within it. The treasure is the Spirit of God who comes into us. So upon salvation, we're made right. We're righteous. Not because we did good, but because God was good, and he sent his son, and his son died on our behalf. You see this? So we now have the righteousness of Christ. In other words, as we put on a coat, just like you put on a coat, you don't see what the clothing, but you see that coat. And what we have put on is Christ. And what the world should see is Christ, who is the King of righteousness and the King of peace, Salem or Jerusalem. Okay? So it says here, the priesthood was, it was a separation of the priesthood. So the Levi, and so you had the priesthood and you had the kingship, which came from, the priesthood came from the tribe of Levi, and the kingship came from the tribe of Judah. See this? This is what Christ is, a kingly priest, a kingly and divine priest. He fulfilled the ministry of Aaron according to Levi, and he's now fulfilling the ministry according to Melchizedek. So when we see Abraham giving the tithes to Melchizedek, you see him as the King of righteousness, Melchizedek, and the King of peace, and he is now, it shows the superiority that Melchizedek has over Abraham. Notice Abraham in Genesis 14, he didn't go to the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom showed up and offered him earthly possessions or riches or what have you, but Abraham wouldn't take it. He recognized what was more important, the bread and the wine. See this? Because the bread and the wine means that God pours himself back into us. Christ is the processed bread and wine. This is why he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. You and I have to eat of Christ, and the way we do it is by faith, trusting him on a day-to-day basis, drawing from his strength. When we're in difficult moments and situations, we have to remember we're going forward. We're going somewhere. And so when we enter into the outer court, it's not for us to hang out in the outer court just to stay there for 50 years. We got to go on to the holy place and eventually to where Christ sits in the most holy place, or the holy of holies, at the throne. This is why God is telling us to draw nigh and to come forward. Many Christians, and what happened with these Hebrew Christians, they stopped. They were on the verge of stopping in the midst of persecution from going forward. See? So what had entered their emotions, what had entered their mind, what had entered into their hearts was hindering them from going on with Christ. This is why you and I have to be anchored, and our minds have to be crucified daily. We have to deny self. It's hard to do, but if we continue to look, the more we look to him, the more we trust him, and the more we'll go through the circumstances. Think about it. If God had a solution for the Red Sea that was before them, Pharaoh was behind them. Think about it. You've always been, I'm sure many of you have been in a situation where you thought there was no way out. You couldn't go forward, nor could you go back. But when you eat of the Passover to come out of Egypt, that represented Christ, you and I accepting Christ, that will give you the strength. You have to keep trusting. It'll give you the strength to walk forward. See? David had the strength to go forward and face Goliath when Goliath was defying the God of Israel. There are many things in this life that's defying God, whether it's the governments, whether it's leaders in the nation, whether it's poverty, it doesn't matter, the killings, all these things, COVID, all these things have shown up to defy your God in you and I, and it wants to hinder us from going forward. You see what I'm saying? But Abraham was not hindered. He stood up to fight on behalf of God's interest in the earth, and Lot was one of them. See, there are a lot of things as we pray for the young people and as we pray for the circumstances and situations that's happening in the world. You and I have to arise in our spirit and allow God to pour himself back into us as we decrease. He gives us the strength to continue to go on and fight the battles for him. See, some of the things that we have to fight against are in us. The major things, they're in us. We got to fight these things that come in our mind. Me and a coworker was talking today, you know, you can have something played all the way out in your mind. And it ain't nothing like you thought. But it's played out in your mind that this person out to get you and this person doing that, and you have a whole scenario. And now the person ain't thought nothing about what you done created in your mind. You see, this is why he says casting down imagination and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of the truth. This is what the enemy is against, the truth. And he will use your family members. He will use your wife, your husband. It doesn't matter what it is. See? You're not responsible for how others respond. You're only responsible for how you respond. And if you start seeing Christ as the author and the finisher of your faith and you draw nigh, the only thing that matters is not what you're going through, but it's him who sits at the throne, who already passed through the heavens, see, passed through the demonic spirits, passed through all of anything that life has to offer. See, that we don't have any trouble. This is why he said, be of good cheer. You and I can be of good cheer because he's gone through it. And so if he's cut the path as the forerunner, why am I worried today? Why am I worried? Anxiety is Satan's playground, and it hinders the believer from going forward to where Christ is. Fear is the playground of the enemy, and it hinders, it paralyzes us. And this is why Paul is warning them to not look at the problem, but look at your heavenly Melchizedek. Look at Christ, who is seated at the right hand, and he's waiting to bring righteousness and peace to your situation here on earth. Let me read this, and I know my time is about up. It says, as the King of righteousness, Christ made all things right with God and made all things right with one another. So righteousness issues in peace. So righteousness, peace is a byproduct of righteousness. That it comes as a result of being right. Sometimes God has to straighten out the stuff in us. You know, I can't go tell Pharaoh let God's people go, and I'm not letting God deal with me on my own issues. Remember, Moses was going to go tell Pharaoh let God's people go, but then an angel came and was going to kill Moses' son because he had not circumcised his son, because he was afraid of the confrontation from the wife because she was a Midianite and they didn't do no circumcision. So she didn't want to face, he didn't want to face the wife, and she, the way we know, when she had to cut the son, the child, she said, a bloody husband you are. So Moses probably like, I ain't going to deal with this woman. Let me go tell Pharaoh. And God's like, uh-uh, you do what I told you to do in your house. Quit trying to run away from confrontation. My word is more important than what you'll ever face. And this is what God has to put into us, not that we do it in the energy of our own strength, but God will give you a righteous indignation where you stand for truth regardless of who comes against it. Y'all see what I'm saying? Your love for his word and his truth is more important than anybody, any family member, anything. You love him, but you have to stand for what's true and what's right according to God's word. Because if there is not righteousness and peace, the ministry of Melchizedek cannot help you and I overcome. You see what I'm saying? This is what the ministry of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, does. It gives us the strength to overcome obstacles, confrontations, whatever it is. If I trust and put them in God's hand and I stand for what, like Abraham did, he knew going out against these four kings could bring about some bad things, a repercussion, right? But he did not. He left the repercussions in God's hand. He left the consequences in God's hands. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? Life will throw us some issues, and you will spend your wheels and your mind trying to figure out what's going to happen. When we all in the future, We're all in the past, and we're in the dealing with our present situations. But if we just commit or commit everything into God's hand, and let not there be anxiety, but let there be righteousness, which brings about peace. And God says the peace of God which surpasses all of our understanding. Y'all see this? It will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So what am I saying? There are issues in this life that can be only, that peace can be brought about only through righteousness. As the King of peace, Christ through righteousness brings in peace between God and us. And in such a peace, he fulfills the ministry of his priesthood. There has to be. I can't come to God, oh, Lord, oh, I don't know, poor me. Oh, bro. He fulfills his ministry in righteousness and peace. When Abraham went to fight, he did not come, poor, pitiful me, but Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. He came in righteousness. Come on, I got my 318 men, and we don't know the outcome, but we, with the Lord, we're going to face this battle. The ministry of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, makes intercession. He knows what you and I are going through, and he's already made intercession. And all we have to do is by faith trust him and walk according to his leading. That makes sense?
Amen.
He is the king who becomes the priest. Thus, his priesthood is kingly and is royal. And on that note, I'm going to have to close. So those on the line will take questions and comments. I hope I didn't confuse anyone, but if I did, any questions or comments you have, we'll take them on the line. Hold on, we'll take them on the line. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I know we've said some things, but we may have said it a little clumsily. But if you have questions or comments, you can feel free to look us up under Understanding God's Word Ministry on Facebook or under Minister Shanette Peterkin. So we thank you again, and we hope that you'll tune in next week to Understanding God's Word. Thank you, and be blessed.